chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, the Holy Scripture says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child, through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name that of people of God, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Amen, amen. "Sins be gone in the name of Jesus. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name that of Jesus." Let's say it one more time. "And he gave him the name Jesus." Amen. Amen. Did you know that there's something about the name that of Jesus? Amen. There's just something about the name Jesus. You know, in ceremonies all across our land, they have done everything they can to just say, well, you can pray as long as you want to pray, but when it comes down to the name Jesus, can you omit that? You see, there's just something about the name Jesus. The Bible tells us that when the name of Jesus is mentioned, that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. My oldest son used to come running in the room saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, the boogeyman, the boogeyman, the boogeyman is going to get me." And I start telling him, I say, "Son, when the boogeyman comes after you, you just start saying the name Jesus." And while that's appropriate to toddlers, that's certainly appropriate to adults as well. We need to learn how to call on the name Jesus. And don't be afraid. Don't be bashful. But if demons tremble at the name, can you imagine what happens when you continue to call on his name again and again and again? This morning I want to share with you a message I've entitled "The Setup." The setup. How many of you here have been set up before? Now setups can come in with something positive, and setups can come with something negative. I'm sure some of you probably have been on, anybody been on a mystery date that someone set up for you? Come on, we're in church. You can, it's okay, it's okay. It's okay, it's okay. It's okay. Gary's the only one that's not being bashful here today. I'm sure most of you have been on a date where someone set up for you. That was a setup. If it was a good date, it was a good setup, but if things didn't go right, it wasn't too good. But we all been set up, and perhaps even set up to do some bad things. But I want to submit to you today that everything that have occurred into your life up to now has been nothing but a setup. You've been set up by God. Now look at the story here of Mary and Joseph, and while we sing these great beautiful songs about them giving birth to a beautiful child and him laying in a manger, whatever. But people of God, you must understand that was not a beautiful thing. That was not a beautiful thing. Just think about Joseph. Men, we'll deal with the women in a few minutes. Just think about Joseph walking around with a pregnant woman that he had nothing to do with. Now, how many of you men here will volunteer to walk around with somebody that you really love and engaged to, and she got a belly out to here, and you're walking with her? Just think about the comments that people begin to say about you. Say, he's hanging out with the woman. He says that he didn't have a physical relationship with her, but how did her belly get out to here? So he was the joke of the town. People ridiculed him and made fun of him. And all the negative things began to come out of the mouths of so many. That was Joseph. But the scripture says he was a righteous. He was a righteous, godly man. But everywhere he went, It was a joke. Because even up to this day, men, I'm talking to you, that if your girlfriend came to you and said, I'm pregnant, and you had nothing to do with it, you would call the question. Baby, I thought you said you loved me. I thought you said that I was your man and that you were willing to commit your life to me. We're about to make the move, but we ain't made the move yet. What a mess it was. It was a mess, people of God. But Joseph had a visit, had a dream with an angel communicating with him and letting him know, you got to go through with this. You're a righteous man, that God wants to use your life. Look at Mary, ladies. A virgin, history tells us that Mary could have been between 13 and 15 years old during the time of this. And back in the ancient times, a woman became a woman at a very early age. And usually it is right around the point of childbearing, between 12 and 14, 15 years old. And so Mary, again, the joke, where she's telling everybody, I'm a virgin, but her stomach is all the way out to here. Let any pregnant woman go in the marketplace telling everybody, I'm a virgin, but the stomach is out here. Do you think they would think that she's off her rockers? Do you think that they would think that that something has gone wrong? Mary, again, a joke of the town, that people question, how could this be? How could this be? So here we have this couple that was set up, people of God. They were set up to do something that would change the entire want you to know this morning that not only Mary and Joseph were set up, but guess what? You and I, we've been set up. We've been set up by God to do great and mighty things. We've been set up by God that signs and wonders will follow us. Look to your neighbor, to your left and your right and behind you, and remind them today, my brother, my sister, you have been set up. You've been set up. You see, a setup is something that you are accused of of something that you had absolutely nothing to do with. Absolutely nothing to do with. A setup is when all of the evidence point directly to you, but you're innocent. You're innocent. And so here, this innocent man, this innocent woman being set up by God. A setup is when everyone is looking at you and you are not the guilty person. You've been set up. You see, when things are appear to be going wrong everywhere you turn, things appear to be going wrong and you did nothing wrong. You've been set up. Perhaps you have spent this week that everything that you have tried appeared to have failed on you. You've been set up. You've been set up. You see, the beautiful thing about being a child of God and being part of the Spirit of God is that there is no coincidence. There is no happenstance. That everything is ordained and orchestrated by God. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm encouraged to know that my life is orchestrated by God, that God is orchestrating every move. Why? Because I've been set up. I've been set up. And my brother, my sister, you too have been set up. What we got to convince you of this morning is that we got to convince you to take off your physical glasses and put on your spiritual glasses. Put on your spiritual glasses. You see, when you put on your spiritual glasses, that everything changes. Everything changes. You put on your spiritual glasses, you don't begin to look at people as white, black, and Asian or whatever. But you look at people as the people of God. When you put on your spiritual glasses, you don't see issues as a problem, but you see them as an opportunity for God to do great and mighty things in your life. The more you can begin to look at life from a spiritual frame of reference, then you can understand and you can see how you've been set up. You see, when you are set up, your world is turned upside down. When you're set up, everything appears to be messed up. When you're set up, your plans for your life appear to be going in the wrong direction. When you're set up, your ideals appear to be nicked. When you're set up, it is time time of defeat. It is a time of failure. When you're set up, it is an embarrassing time in your life. Embarrassing time in your life. Joseph set up. He was engaged to Mary and had preparations to marry her. And then all of this occurred that he had absolutely no control of. Mary, a righteous woman, a woman that out of all of the people in the world that God found favor in, just wanted to live a righteous life, didn't want, Mary didn't volunteer herself and say, I want to be the mother of Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture do we find that she volunteered to be that. But God saw her and compared her to all of the other women on the earth. And he chose Mary. Did you also notice in Scripture that there is no Scripture in the Bible where we have been instructed, people of God? I'm not trying to come against any denomination or religion, but you need to be educated and know there is no Scripture in the Bible that encouraged me to worship Mary. There's no Scripture that encouraged you to worship Mary. No, Mary worshiped her own child. Joseph worshiped his own child. Nowhere in Scripture have we been encouraged, people of God, to worship Mary or Joseph. Yet they were part of the great plan, the great move of God. But there's nowhere we are encouraged to bring worship to them. So if you got Mary figures and Joseph figures somewhere, while they may be cute and everything else, that's all they are. But they were never intended, people of God, to worship. You give all of your worship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years ago, he was in a manger. He was in a manger, the Bible says. He was in that manger, and he was only in the manger because the people back in those days, he was only in a manger because the people back in those days, they had cold hearts. No one was willing to give up their womb to allow him and allow this mother to give birth. No one was willing to do that. So the Bible says that she gave birth to a son. She laid him in a manger because there is no room. There is no room for him in the inn. So when God sets you up, he does it because he has favor in you. He has favor in you. He has favor in you. You see, if you can get that in your spirit, that when rough things occur, if rough things occur, if you can get that in your spirit, well, I know I have the favor of God in my life. So I'm going to get through this. It's going to get better. This is not the end of the road. This is not the end of the road because God has favor in you. You see, that he set us up because he can. He set us up because he knows that he can trust us. See, he knew that he could trust Mary and Joseph, that they could handle the jokes and the ridicule and all of the negative remarks that came upon them. He knew that they could handle it. When God set us up, he does it because he knows that we will follow his plan. He know that we will follow his plan. Now there's something that God does in Scripture that perhaps you've never made note of. That when God wants to do something and it has to take place at a certain date, a certain time, that God rarely uses man. When God must act with great precision and great accuracy in Scripture, you will notice that God rarely, I didn't say God never, uses man. God uses one of his messengers. He sent down one of his messengers at the right time, at the right moment. I was talking to one of my sons yesterday. And he was sharing with me about a dream. And I told him, I said, you be careful about your dreams. Because so often that God communicates with us through dreams. people of God. He communicates with us through dreams, and some of us take it lightly. Some of us don't put any time into it. But there's often a message that God wants to give to us. But look at Mary and Joseph, how God uses an angel. Although the prophets of the ancient prophets had prophesied that this would happen. But it was not just the ancient prophets that as time had drawn near that God sent forth angels. Look at the scriptures real clearly when you go home. That even in the life of Joseph and Elizabeth, that God did not use man, he used angels. And you see right here in the life of Mary and Joseph, again, an angel appeared. You say, well, Pastor, what's the role of the angels? They are messengers of God. They bring down a message at the proper time, at the proper moment, and it behooves anyone that get a message like that sent from God, it behooves you to follow through with it. So you see, when God sets you up, he does it because he knows that you will follow his plan, his plan, his plan. So it's great to know people of God, to be a part of the family of God, and knowing that you're part of a setup. You're part of a setup. Just hang in there if it's rough. I stopped by this morning to encourage you. Just hang in there. The best is yet to come. If things appear to be going in the wrong direction, you continue to trust in God. Hang on in there. The best is yet to come. It's just a setup. It's a setup to allow great things to flow through you. Allow the favor of God to be used in your life. It's just a setup. And so in looking at this beautiful story of Mary and Joseph and all that went in it, it was just a setup. In looking at your life as to where you stand right now, that all that you've been through, all of the places that you've gone, all of the things that you've been involved in, all of the negativity that's surrounding you, all of the negative clouds over your head, all of the issues right now that you probably will go home to this afternoon. I want you to know, child of God, it's just a setup. That's all it is. It's just a setup. It's a setup for God to do great and mighty and awesome things in your life. Take off those physical glasses. Put on the spiritual glasses so you can see the setup that God has for you. The Bible says that God would not allow any more to be put on you than what you can bear. What you can bear. The scripture tells us that if we need patience, in order to get patience, you have to have trials and tribulations. The scripture says, tribulations worketh patience. So what we need to be encouraged today in knowing that God will work it all out. That Romans 8:28, sometimes, you know, I have to turn there and read it again and again and again. Because according to Romans 8:28, it says that all things, people of God, it didn't say some things. It says all things work together for what? For your good. That all things will work together. It's all coming together. All things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. And guess what? Call according to his purpose. People of God, is just a setup. You're just part of a setup. You're part of one of the greatest moves ever known to mankind. You're part of one of the great setups, and that when it's revealed, when it's finally all come together, you're going to be left like Thomas that said, "Oh my God, oh my Lord and my God." You're going to be left standing in great shock to see how God used your life to bring about a great plan. Some of you have already seen parts of God using your life to bring salvation to others. How God using your life to help someone else. God using your life to pray for someone else and allowing them to be healed and lives to be changed. You already seen some of the results of the setup. But as we continue to live, people of God, we need to understand that our whole life is surrounded by a great setup that God has orchestrated, that God is the orchestrator of, and it will all work out for your good. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you today. We thank you, Lord God, for your extravagant benevolence. We thank you, Lord God, that you give us what we need, even when we don't deserve it. We thank you, Lord God, today for your unmerited favor upon our lives. And so, Holy Ghost of God, right now, during this time of prayer, Lord God, right now, we're asking right now, Lord God, that you would simply have your perfect will in your way in each one of our lives, Lord God. We pray this morning, Lord God, if there be someone here, Lord God, that's lost and without Jesus, we claim their salvation. We speak it into existence this day. Lord God, we pray today, Lord God, for every child of God, everyone, Lord God, that have found favor in you, Lord God. We pray your blessings upon their lives, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that your word will continue to do surgery in their lives, Lord God. We pray this morning for healings, for breakthroughs and deliverance. We pray this morning, Lord God, that you put us in, Lord God, in a spirit of worship during this holiday season like never ever before, that we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord God, we pray this morning for the young man, Lord God, that's struggling, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for the young sister today, Lord God, that has a burning need in her life, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for the mom and the dad, Lord God, that needs you more now than ever before. Holy Ghost of God, this morning, have your perfect will, have your perfect way in each one of our lives. Change our lives, Lord God. Make us brand new. Make us over again. Lord God, create in each one of us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit, Lord God, that is within us, Lord God. Renew our spirit right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just meditate in his presence. Just meditate in his presence. Meditate in his presence. Meditate, people of God, in his presence right now. Meditate in his presence. You see, we get so caught up into this life, in this world, that sometimes we stop. We fail to stop and just meditate in his presence. Meditate in his presence. Meditate in his presence. And just begin worshiping him. Begin calling upon him. Begin blessing his name. Begin exalting him. Begin honoring him. Don't always ask him for something, but tell him how great he is. How great he is. How great he is. It's been said that the words, hallelujah, it's one of your highest praises. It's one of the highest words that we can utter. In the English language, it's one of the highest words, one of the highest praises that you can say with your mouth in worshiping Him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have you ever just considered, say, Lord God, today I'm not going to ask you for anything, but I'm going to tell you how great He is, how great He is, how great He is. Just meditate in His presence. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just meditate. Just meditate in His presence. This service, people of God, is about worshiping Him. It's not about us right now. Because what you're going to learn when you put Him first, He said, if you seek Him first, that all these other things will be added unto you. All these things will be added unto you. So today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as we continue with our heads bowed in this time of meditating, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to shoot your hand up right now, wherever you are. Just shoot it up real high. Shoot it up real high. You've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Shoot that hand up real high. From the youngest to the very old, you say, Pastor, I've never invited Jesus into my life. I've never invited Jesus into my life, and I want to do it right now. Shoot your hand up so I can see you. Continue to meditate. But I want you to do right now. I want you to get in the Spirit right now. I want you to get in the Spirit right now. I want you to begin to tell Him how great He is. Tell Him how great Thou art. How great You are. Thank Him. Thank Him for all that He's done for you. Thank Him for watching over you and keeping you. But I don't want you to ask Him for anything right now. But I want you to tell Him how great He is. Can we do it? 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 Can we do it all over this place? Chanel, come up for a minute. Can you do it all over this place? I just want you to tell Him how great He is. How great He is. How great He is. And I just want you to say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, just worship Him. Keep your eyes closed.
Hallelujah.
We're meditating in His presence.
Hallelujah, you're my God.
Come on, close your eyes and meditate with me, people of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, meditate. Tell Him how great He is.
Hallelujah.
Just want Chanel to sing it. No one else sing. But I want you to meditate in His presence. Meditate in His presence.
Hallelujah.
No one else sing. I want you to talk to Him. Begin to talk to our Lord.
Hallelujah, you're my God.
Can you tell Him?
Hallelujah.
How great He is. How great He is.
Hallelujah.
How great He is.
Hallelujah, you're my God.
Tell Him how great He is.
Hallelujah.
How great He is. Let us sing it together
as we stand to our feet.
Let us stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord our God. And if you want to come up to the altar right now and thank Him for all that He's done for you, the altar is open. The altar is open. You can make your way up right now. Let us bring it up. Let us bring it up. Let us bring it up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord my God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just continue to worship. Continue to worship. Hallelujah. To worship. Continue to worship. Continue to worship. Of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of God, we're almost finished. We're almost finished. We're almost finished. Asking you bear with us just for a few more minutes.